We're back on the air, and my name is Jeffrey Davis. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're having a great time. I got to tell you, we got a full studio today. I got everybody around me. I got my producer, Chris Gerald, working the board. I got our new executive producer, not new, but our executive producer. We have Ian Motha. We have our reporter, Peter Meyerson, who's going to be speaking with me in a second about an important topic. And we have one of our favorite guys sitting in the corner without a mic. Jim Farrell hasn't been in the studios for a long time, a big supporter of Radio Entrepreneurs. So glad to have it. And Peter, glad to have you back again.
Jeff, as always, it's great to be here, whether it's as a host or a co-host or a guest.
Great. Well, Peter, I know you were sitting in the back room, the blue room, we'll call it today, preparing for this interview. You brought a big book with you. You brought your notes. What's the topic?
Well, the topic today is actually a little different from the topics I usually carry. I want to talk about a novel I wrote.
And that's your book.
It's my book.
And, okay, where's your picture?
My picture is somewhere on here. But this is the book for those of you who are looking at.
You sure
this.
That isn't the Britannica?
Well, that's sort of the problem, actually. It's one of the things you learn after you write the novel, is that there are a whole lot of rules and regulations, you know, put out there by the publishing industry on first-time novelists.
Uh-huh.
But my novel's called Heroes in a Different Time, and you'll have to figure out what that means for yourself.
Well, that means it's not part of this century.
Well, no, it means it is part of maybe last century, but might have some application to this century.
Is this a mystery, or are we going to talk about it?
Well, I would describe it as sort of a literary novel. It's about, it's set in the early part of the Vietnam War.
Right.
And there are really two protagonists. One is a young naval pilot who goes to Vietnam, gets himself transferred to Vietnam to prove himself because his father was a hero in World War II. And the other character is a woman who is a doctor who collaborates with the Viet Cong.
An American doctor?
An American doctor.
Who's stationed in Vietnam?
Stationed in Vietnam.
Who collaborates with the Viet Cong.
Collaborates with the Viet Cong.
Wow. And interesting twist.
Yeah, it's sort of interesting. And the the storyline basically is she collaborates with the Viet Cong because she's been taking care of young children, and the war, even that early on, is damaging them, you know, terribly. And so she agrees to collaborate with the Viet Cong to help them. She's stationed at the U.S. consulate in Saigon, and she agrees to collaborate and help with an attack on the U.S. consulate.
Wow.
And her name is Jenny Duval.
Uh-huh. French name.
French name. Her father was French and was stationed in Vietnam.
Before the Americans?
During World War II.
Okay, because the French, it used to be a French colony,
exactly.
For those who don't study Vietnam.
Yeah, it's actually,
right.
I bring a lot of that part of the story in. That,
right.
You know, this is a conjunctive story between World War II.
This sounds like a hybrid between the movie MASH and the movie Good Morning Vietnam without the chuckles.
God, I hope not.
Without the chuckles, I said.
I hope that's not the case, but you know, the protagonist, the male protagonist, his father was a hero in World War II also. So this is a story which jumps between.
Do they fall in love?
Yeah, eventually. I mean,
they fall in lust.
This is not a lust story. At least not about them. I have other lust within the novel, but. You know, it's what happens, and the jumping off point is that the male protagonist lands in Vietnam, and he's going to see his best friend at the consulate, and he walks straight into the attack, and during the attack, he thinks. He saves Jenny from the attack when, in fact, she's been, you know, working to help create it. And during the attack, she kills the American captain who is in charge of security at the consulate.
Mm.
And so, she never meant to do that. I mean, this is kind of the story of the law of unintended consequences. And then into the story appears a Saigon detective who is determined to capture Jenny. He believes that she was the operative who was the spy. And because it's clear that they needed that the Viet Cong needed a spy within the consulate. So, you know, the story is...
During a war, that would sound logical.
Yeah, yeah. The pilot, his name is Nick Phillips. And over the next year, Nick and Jenny keep colliding. They keep running into each other in different places.
Fate.
But what is really fairly unique about the story, I mean, there are a bunch of very well-written Vietnam experience stories. What is fairly unique is that there are a whole bunch of Vietnamese characters who become very serious characters within the novel who have exactly the same problems with vengeance. You know, something has happened to them, to cause them to be vengeful. And they have the same issues as the American characters. And what I was trying to do with this novel was sort of balance the two cultures and sort of frame it as, what war really does to people. And, so my first chapter, and I'd kind of like to read a little bit of the first chapter, because what I'm really trying to do, the main character here really is Vietnam.
That looks like page one.
It is page one. And so in the opening scene, what I really wanted to do was kind of create this atmosphere. And I think I've actually achieved it. So let me read you a paragraph.
If you do say so yourself.
If I do say so myself. I do like words. I mean, you know, I've practiced law for so long.
Right.
And so, you know, I've always loved the use of words.
But it's happened before that that attorneys have become writers.
Yeah, and frequently attorneys write.
Well, they write a lot.
Well, we always write a lot. That's our trade.
Yeah, you can't be an attorney without writing.
Exactly. And right. You know, you
look at all those trusts they write, those huge trusts.
Oh, God, don't start me there.
I'm sorry. Go back to your book, page one.
Anyway, so this is really meant to kind of tell people what this is about. So it starts out, it's captioned Bac Tho, which is a town in Vietnam, April 1, 1963, which is long before you were born. So
Lyndon Johnson days, 63?
Yeah. Actually, 63 was Kennedy.
Kennedy. Okay.
Until November.
Yeah. Okay. So it starts out, three troop transport trucks lumbered along a narrow 1,000-year-old dirt road. A brown scar ripped through a primordial green jungle. Sergeant Sam Fox pressed his hips against the back of the lead truck's cab and braced his hands on its blistering roof. The metal burned his fingers, but he barely noticed. The thick tangle of trees and vines rolling by only feet away made Sam dizzy, made him feel like he were being swallowed by some gigantic monster being devoured. Never-ending jungle made him feel small, inconsequential, as if his existence had little meaning. Were Viet Cong waiting in the shadows? He had come to this beautiful but out-of-control country because of a deeply felt patriotism to save the world. But he no longer cared, perhaps as a result of seeing too many legs and arms torn from bodies by explosions and bullets. His desire to be in Vietnam had leaked away just like blood pouring from a deep, ragged wound. Now he wondered if anyone could save him. Did anyone care about him, and what did he care about anymore?
Sounds like a novel.
Might be.
You know, as I look at the book and I hear your description and the writing, have you ever thought that it's more than a book, that you've written the outline for a screenplay? Or a movie, well, a script for a movie? Because it does seem more in, you know, today people read novels in different ways than when my mother read novels.
I mean, it's interesting that you comment on it that way, because really the evolution of this was I wrote a screenplay about 35 years ago, and then it just sat in my desk for 25 or 28 years. And getting a screenplay written, produced or sold when I wrote it, and this was originally written as a screenplay, was incredibly hard because there were only about 200 movies a year made. Now there are thousands of movies made every year.
Yeah, and I'm a visual person. And as you read, I kept seeing sort of like seeing myself sitting in a movie in a theater, a live theater, with the opening scene, you know, and the soldiers sitting there in the opening scene, and it's sort of being described to me. It sounds so much to me like, and you know, today the way I look at the theater as being more intellectually in depth than sometimes the average reader or the average movie. So it just hit me that you had a script for a screenplay that someone could work with you on. Well, but you're clearly very graphic and thoughtful in your writing.
It's interesting that you say that. You know, the fact is that it is incredibly hard. I went to a whole bunch of, I mean, this is a show about entrepreneurship, and
well, clearly an attorney who's run multiple practices his whole life and now decides to be a writer, that is an entrepreneurial leap for you.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it's a different kind of process. Right. And you know, the book can be found on Amazon. You know, I do have it on Amazon if you want to get it electronically. And if somebody wanted to buy it, they can go to the bookpatch.com. website and get it printed, so you know it is available. You know, but the real question is, how do you market? Because that's what this is all about. So,
right. Well, I think there clearly, you know, you've worked on this for years. I've known you for years,
and you've
revised this many times. I mean, there's a story there, and you're a storyteller. The issue is getting it more mainstreamed and picked up.
Exactly.
Right.
So.
Which marketing, you've never professed to being a marketer.
I never professed to being a marketer.
Right.
I need a good marketer.
Right.
Jerry?
Jim. You got to get better at names before you get better at marketing.
Well, that's true. I mean, especially if I'm going to ask him to help me.
Well, Peter, you told us where to find the book. You still practice law. How do people find you?
Well, they find me by, you know, looking at my website, which is pmeyerson@crmllp.com, or they can call me directly, which I still take phone calls, which is 617-742-2255.
And, you know, the other question is, it's kind of interesting, you know, Cohn, Resnick, Meyerson, and Plaut. One partner, rock band, one partner, rock band, one partner, writer, author. Interesting eclectic group of guys.
It is, I mean, the group is, you know, my firm is a very eclectic group, and
right.
we all think of ourselves as intellectually interesting.
And Bob Cohn has, has an album in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame or something, too?
Bob actually is one of the founding members of the oldest garage band in New England.
Yeah, so.
And he has probably 12 albums out.
And quite a guy.
And he's quite a guy.
He's quite a guy. Peter, thanks for being on the show today.
A lot of fun, Jeff.
Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. And, you know, people find it hard to believe, but we're the largest publisher of electronic entrepreneurial content in Massachusetts, ahead of any newspaper or other medium. And we also have had more people connect with our show, almost 800,000 people over our length of our show. So if you want to be connected to the stories of entrepreneurship in today's world, reach out to us, connect with us. We're interested.
Well, maybe they'll all buy my book.
Wow, 800,000. That's a real bestseller. Again, my name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm chairman of MAGE. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back after these messages.